This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why the rehearsal trap keeps you from ever confronting someone's toxic traits. How over-preparing for hard talks leaves toxic behaviour unchallenged. In short, toxic traits are recurring behavioural patterns that consistently harm others, and the rehearsal trap is the cycle that keeps you from ever addressing them. Toxic traits are not one-off bad behaviour. They are patterns that repeat until confronted. The rehearsal trap makes confrontation feel productive without ever being real. Breaking the cycle requires a starting point, not a perfect script. Definition: toxic traits. Confrontation is the act of directly addressing another person's damaging, recurring behavioural patterns rather than tolerating or working around them. It requires naming specific behaviours, describing their impact, and holding the person accountable without waiting until the conditions feel perfect. You have written the opening line 100 times in your head. You have rehearsed it in the shower, on the commute, lying awake at 2 a.m. You know exactly what you want to say about this person's toxic traits. You know the specific behaviour. You know the damage it is causing. You have even anticipated their likely response and prepared a counter. And yet, weeks later, you still have not said a word. That silence is not weakness. It is something more specific, and in Say It Right Every Time, I call it the rehearsal trap. It is the cycle that begins as preparation and ends as permanent avoidance. Understanding it is the first step to breaking it, and breaking it is the only way to stop toxic behaviour from quietly claiming more ground. What toxic traits actually look like in practice? Toxic traits are not insults or bad moods. They are patterns, repeated behaviours that cause consistent harm and keep reappearing regardless of how often you work around them. The colleague who takes credit for others' work once might be thoughtless. The colleague who does it in every team meeting, every quarter, every project, has a toxic trait. The manager who occasionally dismisses feedback might be stressed. The manager who consistently shuts down honesty, punishes disagreement, and cultivates a climate of fierce toxic traits. The difference is repetition and the deliberate or habitual nature of the harm. Here is what makes this tricky in real life. Toxic traits rarely announce themselves directly. They show up as subtle patterns. The team member who agrees in meetings systematically undermines decisions afterward. The person who frames every piece of criticism as a joke so they can claim they were not being serious. The colleague who controls information in ways that make others dependent on them. These behaviours are corrosive precisely because they are deniable. A realistic example. Marcus leads a small team. One member, Claire, has a pattern of arriving late to critical meetings, then asking for a full recap, then challenging the decisions made before she arrived. Each time, it is explained away. Marcus rehearses addressing it. He imagines Claire's likely defensive response, worries about damaging the team dynamic, and decides to wait for a better moment. The better moment never comes. Claire's behaviour continues, because it has never met any resistance. The rehearsal trap and why it protects toxic behaviour. In Say It Right Every Time, I describe the rehearsal trap as the endless cycle of practicing a difficult conversation perfectly in your head, only to find yourself tongue-tied and fumbling when the real moment arrives. The trap is specifically dangerous when the conversation involves toxic traits, because those patterns rarely behave the way your rehearsed script expects. A real conversation is not a monologue. It is a dynamic, unpredictable exchange with another human being. The person you are confronting has not read your script. They will interrupt, deflect, reframe, or respond with something that has nothing to do with what you prepared for. When that happens, your carefully rehearsed opening dissolves, and you are left improvising while your nervous system, reading the conflict as a threat, begins to shut down your thought. This is the biology of it. The part of your brain responsible for rational thought and complex language, the prefrontal cortex, gets hijacked by the part of your brain responsible for survival, the amygdala. I cover this process in detail in Chapter 4 of Say It Right Every Time. It is not a personal feeling. It is a biological reality. The problem is that the rehearsal trap makes the biological reaction worse by setting an impossibly high standard. You have prepared so thoroughly that any deviation from the script feels like failure, and failure in a high-stakes confrontation feels, to your nervous system, like genuine danger. So you go quiet, and the toxic behavior continues. If you recognize this pattern in how your team avoids naming difficult dynamics, why avoiding difficult conversations is the hidden enemy of team synergy covers the wider cost of that silence. The real cost of letting toxic traits go unnamed. Here is the truth that toxic traits do not stay still while you prepare to address them. They grow. Every time a toxic behavior goes unchallenged, it gets quietly normalized. The person exhibiting it receives the signal that it is acceptable. The people around them receive a different signal that this is how things work here, and that honesty about it is not safe. Resentment builds in those who see the behavior and see it go unchecked. Trust erodes in increments so small that no one can point to the exact moment it broke. In chapter 16 of Say It Right Every Time, I describe this as the compound effect working in the wrong direction. Avoiding difficult conversations also compounds. One avoided conversation leads to resentment. Resentment leads to more avoidance. That is exactly what happens with toxic traits. The longer the pattern runs unchallenged, the harder it becomes to name it without it feeling like a major confrontation, which feeds the rehearsal trap, which extends the avoidance further still. The personal cost is real too. We are literally making ourselves sick by not saying what needs to be said. Chronic stress from conflict avoidance is not a metaphor. It is cumulative, physical, and quietly consuming. If you are dealing with a specific form of this, how to address passive-aggressive behavior that silently eroding team synergy addresses one of the most common and most avoided toxic patterns directly. Three beliefs that keep you stuck in the rehearsal loop. People who struggle with toxic traits confrontation usually hold at least one of these beliefs. All three are false, and all three have real consequences. The mistake: believing that more preparation will eventually make the conversation feel safe enough to have. Why it happens: rehearsal feels productive. It creates the sensation of progress without requiring you to accept the risk of the real conversation. What it costs you: preparation without execution is permanent avoidance dressed as responsibility. The conversation never happens because ready never comes. The mistake: believing that naming a toxic trait means making a judgment about the person's character. Why it happens: we conflate the behavior with the person, which makes any confrontation feel like an attack on their identity rather than a description of their actions. What it costs you: you soften the language until the message disappears entirely. The person walks away without understanding that anything of consequence was said. The mistake: believing that if you just handle the relationship skillfully enough, the toxic behavior will eventually stop on its own. Why it happens: this is hope posing as strategy. It feels kinder than confrontation and requires no risk. What it costs you: the behavior does not stop. It continues precisely because it has never encountered a clear boundary or a direct consequence. Signs you're avoiding a feedback conversation and what it is costing you can help you see which of these beliefs has been running your decisions. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What toxic traits confrontation actually looks like. The observable signs of a well-handled confrontation are not what most people imagine. There is no dramatic moment of clarity, no perfectly delivered speech that lands exactly as rehearsed. What it looks like is this: a specific behavior is named, not a character. The impact of that behavior is described clearly and without exaggeration. A question is asked that requires a real response, and the person doing the confronting stays in the room long enough to hear the response, even if it is uncomfortable. It sounds like: I've noticed that in the last three project reviews, my contributions were presented as collaborative decisions after I had shared them with you directly. I need to understand whether that was intentional, because it is affecting how I engage with you going forward. That is not a speech. It is a starting point. It is short enough to actually say, specific enough to be undeniable, and direct enough to demand a response. The person you're confronting may deflect, deny, or explain. Your job in that moment is not to have the perfect reply prepared. Your job is to stay present and keep the conversation grounded in the specific behavior. How to start a difficult conversation that's blocking your team's synergy gives you the practical mechanics for opening these conversations without escalating them. Three situations where the rehearsal trap shows up around toxic behavior. The undermined colleague. Joyner has watched a senior team member, Derek, consistently present her ideas as his own in leadership meetings. She has drafted the conversation twice. She knows it needs to happen, but every time she gets close to having it, she imagines Derek's likely response, the awkwardness that will follow, and the risk that she will be seen as difficult. So she says nothing. Derek's behavior continues. Jarner becomes quieter in meetings because the cost of contributing has become too high. The team leader who knows and waits. Rory manages a team of 8. One member, Paul, has a long-standing habit of agreeing publicly and then working privately to reverse decisions he dislikes. Rory has spoken to 2 members of the team about it informally. He has not spoken to Paul. He tells himself he is waiting for the right time, gathering enough evidence, managing the relationship carefully. What Hugh is actually doing is letting a toxic pattern set the tone for the entire team's culture. The long-term friendship. Siobhan has a close friend who has, over 3 years, developed a pattern of dismissing her concerns with humour, turning serious conversations into performances, and leaving every difficult exchange with Siobhan feeling like she overreacted. She has rehearsed addressing it so many times that the rehearsal itself has become the substitute for the real conversation. The friendship continues, but something honest at its centre has gone quiet. For team-specific dynamics, how to recognise when your team is stuck in the rehearsal trap that prevents synergy-building conversations will help you see when the avoidance has become collective. Breaking the trap, what you can do before the end of the week. The rehearsal trap survives by convincing you that the problem is preparation. It is not. The problem is the gap between knowing what to say and being willing to say it under pressure. That gap closes through action, not through more rehearsal. In Say It Right Every Time, I offer 115 scripts and 16 frameworks precisely because abstract advice, like be more confident or just say what you feel, does not close that gap. Telling someone to be more confident is not actionable advice. How do you just be confident when you're feeling nervous and intimidated? What you need is a concrete starting point, not a finished speech. For toxic traits confrontation specifically, your starting point is always a single, specific, observable behavior. Not you have a problem with credit. Not you always undermine me. One behavior. One occasion. One clear, direct sentence. The rehearsal trap. Why overplanning your feedback conversation makes it worse, and scripts for addressing team members who are undermining group synergy will give you the language for those moments when you need more than a starting point. Here is what you do. Choose the one behavior that is causing the most harm. Write one sentence that names it without judgment. Practice saying that sentence out loud, not in your head, 3 times before the day ends. That is it. That is your preparation. Everything after that first sentence is a real conversation, and real conversations cannot be scripted into safety. They can only be entered with courage. This much I know for certain: every time you choose honesty over avoidance, you create something that ripples further than you can see. The quality of your life is directly proportional to the quality of your conversations. A toxic trait left unnamed will keep draining that quality, one avoided week at a time. The toxic traits confrontation you have been rehearsing for months does not need to be perfect. It needs to happen. Frequently asked questions. What is toxic traits confrontation, and why is it so hard? Toxic traits confrontation means addressing another person's destructive behavioral patterns directly rather than tolerating or working around them. It is hard because the brain reads social conflict as physical threat, triggering the fight or flight response and shutting down the clear thinking you need most. How do toxic traits differ from someone just having a bad day? Toxic traits are consistent, recurring patterns of behavior that cause ongoing harm to others, not isolated moments of stress or frustration. The difference is repetition and impact. A bad day ends, a toxic pattern continues until someone names it and holds the person accountable. Why does rehearsing a conversation about toxic traits make it harder? Rehearsing overprepares you for a script the other person will never follow. When they respond differently than you imagined, your brain panics and defaults to silence or withdrawal. The preparation that felt protective becomes the very thing that paralyzes you in the real moment. What are the most common toxic traits in the workplace? The most common include chronic undermining of colleagues, persistent passive aggression, taking credit for others' work, deflecting blame consistently, and manipulating information to protect their own position. Each of these erodes trust and safety over time, making the team less willing to speak honestly. How do I start a toxic traits confrontation without it escalating? Start with a single, specific behavior rather than a character judgment. Say what you observed, describe the impact it had, and ask a direct question. Keep the opening short. The goal is to open a real conversation, not to deliver a verdict. Preparation should give you a starting point, not a full script. What happens if you never confront someone's toxic traits? Left unchallenged, toxic traits compound. Resentment builds, avoidance spreads, and the behavior gets quietly normalized. Other team members notice that the pattern goes unaddressed and draw their own conclusions about what is acceptable. The cost is not just one relationship, but the entire culture around it. Can toxic traits change if they are confronted directly? Some people change when their behavior is named clearly and the consequences are made real. Others do not. But the confrontation itself matters regardless of the outcome, because it ends your complicity in the pattern, protects others from normalizing the behavior, and demonstrates that honesty has a place in your environment. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.